You know, if you're on the horns of an ethical dilemma, you are not alone. Every other week at this time, we turn to our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Randy writes the Ethicist column for the New York Times, and he joins us now for another round of meddling in your life. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Steve.
And today's letter comes from Paula Cartwright in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, where it is way below zero at this time of year, but she managed to keep her fingers just limber enough to write the following. When my 22-year-old son moved into an apartment with his girlfriend, he packed two grocery bags with books and asked me to take them to the half-price bookstore for a little cash. Paula continues, the clerk who priced the books called me over and in a stern voice asked, "Are you in trouble here?" She held up a plastic sandwich bag with about 2 tablespoons of white powder in it. I was fascinated, Paula writes. What did we have here? Cocaine? I freaked and told her she should toss it in the trash, which she did. And Paula goes on to wonder whether she'd come across a secret stash her son and his girlfriend were saving for a party, or could they be innocent? Perhaps, she says, it was just some white stuff in a plastic bag. She asks, should I mention this to my son? And we'll put that question to Randy Cohen.
Well, I yield to no one in my respect to bookstore clerks, but unless this clerk had a chem lab behind the counter, neither she nor Paula actually knew what was in the baggie that they so quickly trashed. So maybe the real ethical question is, must I replace my son's stash? or not. I mean, there could be another question, and I suppose it's a fair question. Should you come clean to your son? Certainly, Paula did no wrong. She didn't violate his privacy. He asked her to take the books in. But now that she's seen what she's seen, she should, I think, move beyond that kind of don't ask, don't tell strategy that many parents use with older kids especially, and talk to them. Paula has no obligation to be a drug cop, but she does have a mother's obligation to care for her son. And there's a limit to what she can do because her son no longer lives with her. But what she can do is really talk to him about this. And she should find out a bit about what kind of drug life he has. If her son is genuinely at risk, if he has something approaching a drug problem, then she should help him. If he's not, if he's a recreational user, then badgering him isn't going to help anyone. It's not going to contribute to his safety or their mother-son relationship.
And we do have Paula Cartwright on the line from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. So Randy says that even though your son is an adult, you should talk to him about this. What do you think of that advice?
Well, actually, I did talk to him about it. We were out for lunch with the girlfriend a couple of weeks after that happened, and we'd had a beer with lunch, and I casually said to them, gee, a funny thing happened at the bookstore. And they didn't react, and I went on to tell them what had happened. And they were just appalled and embarrassed that they had put me in that position. It turns out what was in the little baggie was a vitamin supplement that a buddy of my son's had offered him. They play football together, and he was going to put it in some juice and try it and see if he liked it.
Oh, yeah, sure he was, Paula. First of all, that wasn't drugs. And second of all, even if it was, it wasn't mine. And third of all, I wasn't even at school that day. I don't know.
You know, they did make the perfect argument that it wasn't drugs. His argument was, Mom, if I really had drugs and had money invested with drugs, do you really think I would have left them at your house?
You know, I can see you're an excellent mother, and you've taught him the value of thrift.
That's so important. Security. You got to secure your investment these days.
Right. And, you know, of course, the girlfriend, who's very supportive of him, assured me that as college students, they don't have money for drugs. What was very endearing, though, was he put his arm around me and apologized for putting me in an embarrassing situation.
What a good kid.
I thought that was very sweet.
Actually, it really is.
Paula, if I could just ask about this. I mean, immediately before he put his arm around you, when you first told him you'd found this bag of white powder, I wonder if you could describe his reaction. Was it like those scenes in the movies where the guy, like a mouthful of beer went flying across the room or something like that?
The mouth dropped open. The eyes were just wide. A little glaze came over them. And the words, what, came out of his mouth. It was priceless, actually.
And how long did it take him to recover his balance and come up with his story about the vitamin? No, we shouldn't assume he's lying, but tell you this story about the vitamin supplement.
No, he was right on top of it, which is my cue as a mom who knows him very well that it was the truth. The other thing is that his lower lip didn't twitch, so I knew that was also an indicator he was being truthful. So, you know, we mothers look for these little physical cues.
Sure, that's why my mother always beats the heck out of me at poker.
Well, Paula Cartwright of Cedarburg, Wisconsin, thanks very much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. It was a great pleasure.
And let me just mention that if you have a question for the ethicist, drop us a line at watc@npr.org. And put the word ethics in the subject line, if you would. Also include your name and phone number, and you could get to discuss your problems with Randy Cohen himself. But please, no suspicious white powder in your note. Randy, thanks.
I speak with the clarity of the utterly sober in saying you're welcome.